Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, and we're reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and whom was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him to say, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turned to the crowd, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. You may be seated. Chances are you've never heard of Natasha Young. Staff Sergeant Natasha Young is a United States Marine from Lawrenceville, Massachusetts, who did two tours of duty in Iraq. On her second tour of duty, six Marines from her unit were killed when they were trying to disarm an IED. Needless to say, those deaths traumatized Natasha and the entire unit. In fact, the unit commander committed suicide not long after he got home. Sergeant Young herself broke down physically, emotionally, and mentally, and was eventually diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which led to her medical discharge from the Marines. Now, Sergeant Young is not alone. In fact, of the 2.4 million Americans who have fought in Iraq and Afghanistan over the last 10 years, almost a quarter of a million of them have been diagnosed with PTSD. But many, many more go undiagnosed and untreated. These veterans run the risk of sliding down into things like substance abuse, depression, anger, and suicide. I read on the veterans' website the other day that 22 veterans commit suicide every day. Every day. For many of them, the more they try to forget about their trauma, the more deeply it affects them psychologically. But I'm told that there's a new treatment for PTSD that Sergeant Young and others are experimenting with these days that have some very, very positive results. It's called Virtual Iraq. Virtual Iraq. This new treatment is a new high-tech way of vets to deal with their trauma by immersing themselves in virtual combat, the environment that duplicates virtually the sights, the sounds, even the smells, like burning rubber tires and cordite from spent shells, as well as rotting garbage that on many of the streets where they fought. But before going into this virtual battlefield, the vets are asked to recall their experiences with the therapist and talk about them if and when they are ready to deal with them. Then they put on some very special high-tech virtual goggles eight times to relive the scene of their trauma that they've explained to their therapist, like a buddy getting blown up by a grenade, for example. And after the treatment, the vet is asked to talk about the experience with the therapist and hopefully, eventually be set free from the trauma's grip. One soldier put it this way: "The war will never leave me, but now I know I can handle it." This emerging treatment has had some positive results and some promise since its study was revealed that 12 of 15 vets who participated in it no longer meet the criteria for PTSD. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You might call this a form of virtual healing. Well, in today's text, another soldier, a Roman centurion, an officer in the Roman army, was dealing with his own, let's call it personal crisis, personal tragedy of sorts, and experienced a virtual healing of his servant. You see, his most valued servant came down very ill and was near death. Now, apparently, this centurion had a special relationship with this slave, this servant, because he does something totally out of the ordinary for a Roman soldier. This centurion, in a sense, decides to envision a different future by thinking outside the box, so to say. And this is made possible by the virtual presence of Jesus. Jesus, you see, happened to be in the next town, Capernaum. The centurion found out about it and heard that Jesus was a healing teacher. So he called for Jesus, but he asked his Jewish friends to go and fetch Jesus for him. According to today's scripture that Debbie read, he loved the Jews, which was very unusual. This was a beloved Roman soldier by the Jews, and the Jews loved him. He had even helped build one of their synagogues. They had that close a relationship. So this was highly, highly unusual relationship. Excuse me. But the centurion also knew the Jewish customs. He knew that there still had to be some distance between the Jews and the Gentiles. And that's why he sent his Jewish friends to go and get Jesus and tell him about his servant. The Jews see this centurion as worthy, the Bible says, of having Jesus come to him because of his love for the Jews. So they ask Jesus to come to heal the servant, and Jesus comes. But the scripture also tells us that this centurion has enough faith to believe that Jesus can heal him from afar, that Jesus doesn't even have to be present in order for him to heal. Instead, the centurion's faith, his faith in Jesus' virtual presence, that really mattered to the centurion. The centurion said, "Just speak the word, Jesus, and my servant can be healed. Just speak the word." Well, Jesus is very, very impressed with this. Some translations say Jesus was taken aback. Today's amazed or surprised. Why? Why was Jesus surprised? Because this Gentile centurion, a non-Jew, has the faith to trust in Jesus without even seeing him, without even knowing him, or being in his physical presence. He said, "Just speak the word." And what was Jesus' reaction? As his friends came, the centurion's friends came to tell Jesus these things, not to worry about coming, just speak the word. Jesus says, "Not even in Israel have I found such faith." In other words, Jesus is saying that he's found more faith in this Gentile centurion than he has in his own followers. But too often, we, like battle-weary soldiers, give in to the trauma of our circumstances, that is, our sin, our brokenness. Too often we find ourselves going down in that downward spiral of negativity that replays those tapes in our minds from our childhood. Jesus, on the other hand, can lift us up and give us a vision of a different future. Even if we don't receive an answer to our prayers for healing right away, it is faith that invites us to begin moving step by step, inch by inch, toward wholeness, toward healing, toward restoration. And like the centurion, soldiers in recovery from their battlefield trauma realize that to manage their PTSD, they cannot do it alone. They need the help of others. And the centurion had his community of friends, Jewish friends, to help him find Jesus and go and get him. The same could be said of people who are battling addictions, habitual sinful behavior, or other life traumas. Like the centurion, they need to be willing to ask for help, and even if they are unworthy of it. The good news is that Jesus specializes in dealing with the unworthy, the outcast, the unloved. Jesus takes our pain. Jesus takes our suffering and offers instead healing grace. All we have to do is call out to Jesus. All we have to do is have that key of faith I talked about with the children, to reach out in faith and to bring our hurt, to bring our pain to the foot of the cross and allow Dr. Jesus, I like that, Dr. Jesus, the great physician, to meet us at our point of need. Faith in Jesus isn't a virtual reality. It's a spiritual reality. It's a faith that's lived out in community, in relationship with others in the body of Christ. The truth is, folks, we can be the virtual healing presence of Christ to each other. We can help one another towards the healing and the wholeness. We don't have to be trained therapists with a bunch of letters after our last name. All we need to be willing to do is to be a listener, to come alongside those who are going through a rough time. And I look at our Stephen ministry, which is exactly what Stephen ministry is about, coming alongside people who are hurting. All of us need people who can speak into our lives and be the virtual presence of that spiritual reality in Jesus. We are the body of Christ, says Paul, who have the same care for one another, Paul says. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be about. When one hurts, we all hurt. But that comes from being a part of a faith community. Excuse me. Those Jewish elders saw a Gentile in need. They saw him first as their neighbor. They wanted to help alleviate his suffering by going to Jesus. The question is for us, how can we, you and I, be agents of healing for each other in the same way? Who do you know, folks, who's hurting? Stop and think for a moment. Someone who's going through a very difficult time, some kind of personal trauma or personal crisis. Think about it. And now, how can you be the virtual presence of Jesus to them? How can you help them envision a different outcome, a different sort of outcome for their brokenness? Maybe that person is you. Maybe you're going through a difficult crisis, a difficult time in your life right now, and you need some help in your life. How will you take the step of faith to not only trust Jesus to heal you, but also to allow your community of faith to help you walk that difficult road, to intercede for you through prayer, to advocate for you, to come alongside you, to pray with you? Remember, folks, the definition of faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And faith, our faith, is the virtual presence of Jesus that allows us to see the world, to see one another, to see humanity through the eyes of Jesus. And I cannot think of a better example of the virtual presence of Jesus Christ than right here at this table. The body and the blood, through the bread and the cup, virtual Jesus is here with us today.